W22 Chippewa Falls, W228 EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. NATO sent fighter jets to shoot down Russian drones over Poland. Olivia Rinaldi reports from the White House there is reason for the worry.
NATO allies are seeing this as certainly a threat, and this is something that President Zelensky has said consistently, which is he won't stop at Ukraine. President Putin will keep going if we do not deter this aggression.
Still, Zelensky blasted global leaders today for inaction. He says Russia is testing the limits of what is possible. The European Commission is threatening possible sanctions against Israel for yesterday's attack on Hamas leaders in Qatar. Former U.S. Ambassador to Israel, Edward Djerarian.
The Trump administration has floated a comprehensive ceasefire deal in which Qatar, as a key mediator, has been in these ceasefire talks. It raises serious questions about Israel's intent on actually reaching an agreement at this time.
On Wall Street, stocks are mixed. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammy McCormick.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation is calling on agricultural workers to push back against fee increases by the DATCP. The license fee for the Animal Market Class A category would increase from $420 to over $7,400, and the registration fee for truckers moving livestock would jump from $60 to nearly $400. The increases are scheduled to go into effect in July of 2027. The DATCP says fees haven't increased since 2009, and the agency needs more revenue due to decreased federal funding. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation Division of Motor Vehicles is reminding residents to check a used vehicle they're planning to buy for potential flood damage. According to a press release, water damage can be difficult to spot and could cause mechanical and electrical issues. Before purchasing the vehicle, residents should check for a damp or musty smell, look for water signs, discoloration, or mud in the engine, and test the functionality of all electrical components. Buyers should also consider having their own mechanic inspect the vehicle. A Pierce County town is considering additional regulations for concentrated animal feeding operations. The town of Isabel held a public hearing on Tuesday regarding a potential new ordinance aimed at requiring CAFOs to obtain permits to address concerns over manure spread and pollution, as well as other infrastructure and environmental damage. The town currently does not have a concentrated animal feeding operation, but a massive proposed expansion by the nearby Ridge Breeze Dairy has prompted legal challenges to the state's approval of the plans. The Pierce County Board of Supervisors will give additional consideration to increasing funding for county libraries at their meeting this month. The issue was first raised in the board's August meeting, with county library directors requesting an increase in County Act 150 funding from 90% to 95%. They argue that changes in operating expenses like payroll or utilities and the circulation of items should justify the additional funding. The Act 150 legislation requires the county to reimburse public libraries for the services they provide for county residents. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Packers in prime time. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Last Sunday's game between the Packers and Lions drew 24 million viewers, the most watched Week 1 game on CBS in 28 years. Tomorrow night, they host the Washington Commanders. Green Bay defensive end Micah Parsons has had some of his best games against Washington during his time with the Cowboys.
I don't know, just the strategy, coaching. Understand who you're playing against. They're just an explosive team, starting with that quarterback, and it just means a lot more. You get to him.
The Packers could be without right tackle Zach Tom and left guard Aaron Banks, both dealing with injuries. There'll be game time decisions. And the team signing Christian Watson to a one-year extension worth over $13 million, even though he's still rehabbing a torn ACL. College football, the Badgers will play at Alabama for the first time ever this Saturday. Game time 11 a.m. Danny O'Neill likely to start at quarterback again. Women's volleyball, the Badgers beating the UWM Panthers last night. 3-0 in straight sets. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mixed skies with highs making it to the mid-70s today. Got more patchy fog rolling in overnight with clearing skies. It'll be a sunny day tomorrow and slightly warmer. Highs reaching the upper 70s. And the mugginess starts to seep in for Friday. Partly sunny, we reach the low 80s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 68.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Thursday, Brian Kennedy, mayor of Glendale and national president of Democratic Municipal Officials, on getting yourself trained to run for local office.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Good afternoon, everyone. Tom Alba here at the world headquarters of Civic Media in the newsroom. Now, 6 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock. I want to begin with this breaking news at this hour. This is from the desertnews.com in Utah. Although it is being reported at several national events at this hour, Charlie Kirk, the political activist and outspoken critic of the left, has been shot in a Utah event, and a suspect is in custody. This is a breaking news story. Continues to be updated, very fluid at this hour. Here is what we know. Charlie Kirk was shot at an event at Utah Valley University in Orem, Utah. Earlier today, bystanders report seeing Kirk shot near his neck during a Q&A with students. A suspect is in custody, according to a UVU alert sent to students. The campus is on lockdown. The alert for the university said, quote, a single shot was fired on campus toward a visiting speaker. Police are investigating now. Suspect is in custody, unquote. Again, we want to be careful. Only telling you what we know for sure at this hour. We are monitoring special news reports from CBS and others across the country right now. We will update it during the show coming up here as we know the facts. Don't want to speculate, but what we know for sure being reported by the desertnews.com in Utah at this hour, Charlie Kirk shot at an event at Utah Valley University in Orem, Utah earlier today. Bystanders report saying Kirk shot in or near his neck during a Q&A with students, and police, University of Police report that a suspect is in custody. The condition of Kirk at this hour is unknown. That is what we know for now. Again, we'll continue to update it during our show upcoming, but for now, at 8 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock, for Civic Media News, I'm Todd Alba.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Alba, along with producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is 8 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Wednesday, September 10th, 2025. We will forego the usual greeting of Wisconsin and the Wednesday in light of the breaking news at this hour. Again, we'll continue to follow it throughout the show as more information becomes available, but we know that conservative political activist Charlie Kirk has been shot at Utah Valley University in Orem, Utah. Bystanders report seeing Kirk shot near his neck. Police say a suspect is in custody. The condition of Kirk at this hour, unknown. Coming up a little bit later on in this broadcast, our second hour at 3:35, following an appearance this morning on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow this morning, David Crowley, the Milwaukee County executive who announced his run for governor, will be on this program at 3:35 this afternoon. Looking forward to a conversation with him. And also going to be talking about what's worse for you at hour two as well. But right now, joining us from the aforementioned Lake Wissota studios, Mr. Pat Kreitlow, host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and Trigvi Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, former Republican like myself, joining us from his home outside Washington, D.C. Gentlemen, this is breaking news. Certainly not the way we intended to come on the air today. Let me start with this. I have said on this program, and I know this network has maintained, that we condemn in the strongest words possible any form of violence, in particular political violence. That is certainly my continued stance on this, thinking of Charlie Kirk and his family at this hour. But Pat, once again, another case as we come on the air, like you've come on the air on your show, I've come on the air on mine, another senseless act of gun violence in this country.
That's really the right way to start this off, that it is another senseless act of gun violence. And it does not matter who the perpetrator is or who the victim is when we're talking about the epidemic of gun violence. And it is something we don't see anywhere else. Of course, we see attacks. Of course, we see assassination attempts. We see murders and everything else. But we have so grown the odds exponentially in this country. And with each case that grabs the headlines, with each case that warrants a special report like this, there are so many others that don't. There are so many others who will be shot today, who will die today from gun violence. And not to diminish this one particular one, but I don't want to diminish all of the other ones either, that I hope that, a high profile case like this only helps reassert the notion that we do not have to live this way, whether it's with we're talking about guns or if we're just talking about political violence. We can be better than this in America.
Trigvi Olson, to Pat's point, already President Trump out on his Truth Social, tweeting out his thoughts for Charlie Kirk, who, of course, founded Turning Points USA, a conservative commentator, a friend of President Trump. But to Pat's point, and I mean, I could say I don't want to politicize that, but I think that would be dishonest on my part. Why is it that when things like this happened in Minneapolis, it took hours for the president to say anything about it? Why is it that we seem to look at the three of us, but why is it that today's politicians seem to look at these tragedies too often through political lenses in winners and losers, instead of just saying, look, we're all human here. We should be taking care of one another. Trivi, you're my
sorry. Sorry about that. My daughter called and I forgot to put my phone on Do Not Disturb.
It's all good.
I'm sure she's calling to extort money from me for Starbucks coffee. Listen, the bottom line is all Americans, regardless of what you think about Charlie Kirk, should think about this and recognize that this is not who we should be. It's not who we are, or maybe it is who we are in this moment. But the reality is, whether it's in Minneapolis with the legislators, it's Charlie Kirk. The bottom line is, we have to decide as Americans, are we gonna go the path that our founders laid out and determine who holds power and how power is adjudicated through the ballot box, or are we going to decide that on the streets with violence? Because those are the only two options. And it doesn't matter whether somebody is on the far right, the far left. Quite frankly, it's antithetical to everything our founders set out. It's antithetical to who we are as Americans. And quite frankly, it's an insult to all those Americans who gave their lives for the freedoms that we should enjoy. That's the bottom line.
Yeah. And, Trevi, you've seen authoritarianism, you've seen military takeovers in different parts of the world, you fought against that literally, and to your point, I want to get both your takes on this. Start with you, Trigvi. We've seen this, unfortunately, up close and personal with two members of the Minnesota legislature being shot and one of them killed, and her husband. Now we see it with Charlie. It just seems like this political violence is becoming I condemn all violence. I condemn all shootings. But now it's moved into suddenly now we see an uptick, or is it just me, in political targeting, which, to your point, Trigvi, is a very dangerous path to start down instead of having our fights done at the ballot box.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. At the end of the day, if my experiences around the world taught me anything, again, I get back to this. There's only two ways that power can be adjudicated. It's either adjudicated through the ballot box and the win-win of democracy, or through the zero sum of who holds the most power. And that's determining it on the streets. And quite frankly, you know, Charlie Kirk maybe has political views that are reprehensible, but it does not condone that kind of action. Just as if somebody thinks that a state legislator from Minnesota, same thing. It's not who we are. It's not who we should aspire to be. This isn't a great America. This is the absolute worst of America, Pat, in any of those instances.
All right. Well, somebody's got to say it. I will take the heat for this. Charlie Kirk is a vile person. Charlie Kirk spread hate throughout the country. Let's just put that out there. I don't want to treat this with any shade of vanilla. That's why it is so incumbent upon us to condemn this kind of attack. We have a First Amendment that lets people say vile and hateful things and draw a crowd. He had quite a crowd that he had drawn there in Utah. And frankly, the rhetoric might have been dangerous, but the remedy is not a bullet. The remedy is through organization. It is through the ballot box. It's through talking to each other about the kinds of things that he was spreading, and to do better by the people that we want to be, rather than, you know, this gun-driven mentality that, frankly, a lot of people who agree with Charlie Kirk more than me have been spreading.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, Pat, because he does say vile things, does say terrible things. But I'm taken back to my last stint at the state capitol here, a block from where I am right now, where I worked for my old boss, Dale Schultz. And I think it was 2011, 2012, somewhere in there. And there was a big Ku Klux Klan rally. Not big, but I mean, it was 20 or 30 people. And it was super controversial. And they had it on the Capitol grounds. And it drew a lot of a big crowd, both for and protesting. And I said, it's just sick. This is just sick that this is allowed. And my old boss looked at me, and I'll clean it up for radio. And he said, yeah, it is freaking sick. But isn't it great we live in a country where that's allowed, just like you and I can say what we want to say? And I am for free speech too. I mean, we can't be calling for people to be killed or anything like that. But you're right, Pat. Our Constitution guarantees us the right of free speech within certain limits. But if you disagree, shooting somebody ain't the answer, Pat.
Well, no, it's not. Very few people would think that, you know, a few gun deaths would be worth it to have the Second Amendment. Now, unfortunately, one of those people is Charlie Kirk, who once said, I think it's worth to have a cost of, unfortunately, some gun deaths every single year so that we can have a Second Amendment to protect our other God-given rights. That's a prudent deal. It is rational. Charlie Kirk is quoted in Newsweek magazine. Now, when this is all said and done, are we expecting Charlie Kirk to have some kind of an epiphany? No. Look at Steve Scalise, Republican member of Congress, mm-hmm. who was shot at that softball game. Again, you're not trying to think that you're going to use bullets to change outcomes or to change somebody's mind, no matter what they've said in the past, is as counterproductive as it gets.
Trigvi, I will put this out there. We'll come back and get your take on this. Matt in Middleton brings up a good point, I think. Matt writes on the Civic Media text line, quote, let's not ignore the fact that the Trump regime is engaging in violence every day and wants to push the rest of us into conflict so that they can stop our election and have their Christian dictatorship. We are in a civil war, and let's be honest about that, unquote. That is from Matt in Middleton. We're coming up against the break here, so I want both of you just to think on that, because I think that is what we're given, what's being thrown at Wisconsinites right now in the news and the rhetoric, and how we respond to that as people? I think it's a really important question to take on. And then we'll move off this subject and on to other things. We'll come back with the latest on Charlie Kirk being shot in Utah and more news of the day. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show for a Wednesday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Make every day extraordinary with something special from Wisconsin. From artisan cheeses to fresh produce to maple syrup, the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection's Something Special from Wisconsin program is proud to work with member businesses that certify their Wisconsin-made and processed products. Look for the red and yellow sticker and visit somethingspecialfromwisconsin.com to find member businesses and products made with care, quality, and love. Sponsored by Wisconsin DATCP.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety.
CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is Wednesday, September 10th, 2022. Following the breaking news at this hour, conservative political activist and founder of Turning Points USA, Charlie Kirk, has been shot at an event at Utah Valley University in Orem, Utah. At this hour, we know that bystanders report seeing Kirk shot near or in his neck during a question Q&A session with students there. A suspect is in custody. The condition of Kirk at this hour is unknown. Continue to follow this. Joining us on a Wednesday, as per usual, from his Lake Wasota studio and host of Mornings of Pat Kreitlow from 6 until 9 on this network, Pat Kreitlow. And senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, joining us from his home outside of Washington, D.C., Trigvi Olson. Guys, there is other news of the day, but I think it's important to kind of have this discussion here. I just want to button this up. We took this text from Matt in Middleton before we went to break, and he's saying to not ignore the fact that Trump is engaging in what he says, quote, in violence every day, and want to push the rest of us into conflict so they can stop our elections and have their Christian dictatorship. We are in a civil war, and let's be honest about that. Unquote. I think that Matt represents a lot of our listeners in terms of what they're taking in and their feelings on that. I want both of your reactions. Let's start with Trivi.
I mean, first of all, Matt, you're not in a civil war. You clearly haven't ever been in a civil war. I don't think it suggests, maybe I'm wrong about this, I don't know your background, But if you've ever been in a conflict zone or where serious violent civil unrest is going on, you don't live that every day. You go downtown in Middleton, you're not in a civil war, but you will be if that's what you're creating a self-sustaining prophecy to be. You're in a political battle right now, and the answer to the autocratic inclinations of the people that you're up against is best resolved by nonviolent resistance tactics. Violence actually turns the people that you want against you, not in favor of you. And that's a documented fact. So it's reckless to even use the term civil war. And I quite honestly, that's the same kind of rhetoric that Charlie Kirk and people like that, Glenn Beck and what's Steve Bannon and those people use on the other side. So you're not in a civil war. And if you think you are, go online and actually do some digging around of what it looks like in a civil war. Or quite frankly, if you want to see what a civil war looks like, go and look at what's happening in Ukraine. I realize that's not a civil war, but that is a war zone. That's what a war zone looks like. Middleton, Wisconsin, not a war zone.
Pat Kreitler.
Period. End of issue.
The line, I guess, is attributed first to Carl Sandburg. What if they held a war and nobody came? And that's really the right way to go about it, is to say, well, you're looking to declare war on me. I'm not going to take part. Now, that doesn't mean I'm letting you, you know, defeat me. It means I've got my own way of doing this without violence, which is organizing, which is communicating, which is voting, which is informing people about things that are happening that are abhorrent, including today's shooting. I obviously have, you know, no connection or history to the civil rights movement, but when I think of the campaign of nonviolence there and in India and other places, a lot of people, you know, war is declared on them. War was declared on how many Black Americans, how many died, how many were jailed, and all the other horrific things that happened. But they didn't fight the war. They didn't take the bait to fight. They fought in their own way, and consequently led to consequential victories. Clearly, you know, there's still much, much, much to be done. But again, the nonviolent path, while, you know, is not guaranteed to be free from violence on you, is just so much more preferable than letting this country spiral into, you know, the self-fulfilling prophecy that Trigvi is talking about.
We'll continue to follow this breaking news on the shooting of Charlie Kirk as more news becomes available. But before we let you go, Pat, I want to turn a page quickly. You had Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley on your program this morning. I listened to that, thought it was a great interview. He is going to be with us in hour number two here. Your just thoughts and takeaways of him getting in the race.
Well, if you let me point to his introduction video, in much the same way I did to Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. She put out a terrific 2-minute video that was, you know, here's my story, here's why I'm running. And I thought, well, that's going to be tough to match. And yeah, David Crowley has done that. Again, a very good 2 minutes worth your time of, this is who I am, this is my background. And then, I mean, look, anybody can make a good film. I'm just saying that they both turned out well. They both do well in live interviews. And then today's interview, the county executive, again, made the case for what he has done both as a legislator and an executive in the executive branch of government to give him the management experience that would serve well as governor. Now, we also had Earl Ingram on, who said, you know, a lot of nice things about him. But then, you know, looked at the scene of Wisconsin in general and said, you know, governor, he said something along the lines of, you know, that's a heavy lift in an entire state where he's not known statewide. But even if it's not successful, ultimately, I think he's going to impress a whole lot of people over the next 11 months.
As a former Democratic state senator of this state, Pat, you know the Democratic Party well. Earlier today or this afternoon, Mayor Cavalier Johnson of Milwaukee also endorsing David Crowley. There was some thought that they both might get in the primary. Milwaukee and Dane County, that's where this primary is going to be won or lost, is it not?
Well, by and large, but again, they'll have to look for, if it's a close primary, every possible vote, which is why David Crowley was right to be on the road today in La Crosse when we reached him. Sarah Rodriguez had been there a day or two before, and there is, you and I, we all agree, there's no substitute for shoe leather, or in this case, your foot on the gas pedal. Get out and actually talk to people. Don't think you can do this through political ads alone.
You can listen to Pat every morning from 6 until 9 from his beautiful studios right there at Lake Wissota, watching the fog rise from the lake before he heads over to the Mallard in the afternoon. Thank you, Pat. Have a good afternoon. Come on back. More discussion with Trigby Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, to update on what's happening with Charlie Kirk's shooting in Utah. It's the Town Hall Ball Show for a Wednesday across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
.5 The Tap. As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Oh, this weather may be ideal for you and I and our afternoon strolls, but I'll tell you what, there are some Wisconsin crops in jeopardy. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Wednesday. Amy Aragone, who is the manager of Bailey's Run Vineyard in New Glarus, is struggling with this beautiful weather. She says their early Edelweiss has already been picked, but later grapes are struggling in September because of the lack of heat.
Yeah, we're not happy about it at all. We have five varieties that we grow. We have one variety, Edelweiss, that ripens usually in August, really early every year. The other four, we still need September heat to ripen that fruit. So we are in the phase right now where we're taking sugar readings pretty often, and my sugars are just sitting. They're not moving up at all because I just don't have the heat right now.
Amy Aragone, she is the manager of Bailey's Run Vineyard in New Glarus, and she's struggling with this cool September weather. She says she oversees 6 acres and 3,000 vines. She says the longer the fruit have to remain on those vines, the more damage from things like birds, bees, and disease they could risk. Other crops around Wisconsin doing a little bit better. Those updates next.
It doesn't matter how a hybrid or variety performs across the country, or even in the next town over. At Golden Harvest, we know local results start with local expertise.
Hey, Jim.
Like knowing that diner on Main Street has the best slice of pie, or knowing the matchup every Friday night. It takes someone who truly knows your acres and will be there every step of the way to make sure you see results. Learn more at goldenharvestseeds.com.
With corn rootworm costing farmers up to $1 billion a year, you need the right strategy. Introducing Durastack Trait Technology, featuring three powerful modes of action to strike corn rootworm at full force, outsmart, outmaneuver, and outmatch their every move with the industry's first triple BT protein stack built for corn rootworm control. Take back your yield potential. Make your move at Durastack.com. Available for the 2027 season.
The drier weather has allowed Wisconsin farmers to move forward with the corn silage harvest. As of Sunday, about 10% of that crop already harvested. 82% of our corn is called good to excellent. Soybeans have declined a little bit this week, about 81% called good to excellent. But this cooler weather is ideal for our Wisconsin potato crop. Right now, about 40% of our potatoes have already been dug. 89% of that crop called good to excellent. Want more farm news? Pop on over to MidwestFarmReport.com. There you'll find all kinds of written articles as well as our playlist. That's a look at food news on a Wednesday. I'm PM Yonke.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mixed skies with highs making it to the mid-70s today. Got more patchy fog rolling in overnight with clearing skies. It'll be a sunny day tomorrow and slightly warmer. Highs reaching the upper 70s. And the mugginess starts to seep in for Friday. Partly sunny, we reach the low 80s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 69 degrees.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I love Angela Lang, and I think Dan Schaefer is great. Dan Schaefer could replace me in a heartbeat. Angela Lang could replace me in a heartbeat. There are so many more talented people. I'm the only one willing to get up before 4 a.m. to do this show. You get the guy old enough to have to wake up and pee, and that's the whole business model behind this show. You're welcome, Mr. and Ms. Middle America.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
At the top of the show, I'm joined by former ambassador and former White House ethics czar, Norm Eisen. We discuss why the Epstein files matter more broadly for government accountability.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Welcome back to the Todd Lowell Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Now 35 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Wednesday, September 10th, 2025. Zomer's on the board. Many thanks to Pat Kreitlow for joining us on a Wednesday, busy news day, and appreciate his time. Remember, you can listen to Pat every morning from 6 until 9 a.m. across many of these same stations on the Civic Media Radio Network, continuing to follow the top breaking news story. At this hour, conservative commentator and founder of Turning Points USA, very conservative, very controversial for many, Charlie Kirk was shot at an event at Utah Valley University in Orem, Utah earlier today. Bystanders report seeing Kirk shot near his neck during a Q&A with students. A suspect is in custody, according to campus police. The university is on lockdown. Campus police say it was a single shot towards Kirk. And again, they have a suspect in custody at this hour. The condition of Kirk is unknown. We'll continue to follow that as the afternoon proceeds. Trevi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, like myself, a former Republican, a good Wisconsin guy, now lives out in Washington, D.C., or the suburbs thereof, joins us as per usual on Wednesday as well. Trevi, let's turn a page a little bit here to other news of the day. And this is where I had planned to start with you and Pat, had it not been for the breaking news of the hour. I feel equally as important to the United States' overall interests is what happened overnight in Poland, in which several Russian drones went through Polish airspace. And remember, folks that are listening, Poland is a member of NATO, the alliance of which the United States is in. Charter, an attack on one is an attack on all. And Poland's defense system shot down what certainly appears to be Russian drones in Polish airspace, which landed on Polish soil. Several homes and whatnot were damaged. This time I checked about an hour ago, no fatalities at this hour in Poland. Polish government claims that Russia went through their airspace, went over Polish lands to attack Ukraine. Trevi Olson, again, you know this part of the world very well. You've worked there. What are your first thoughts and reflections on what happened overnight in Poland?
Well, Todd, I will tell you, when I was in Lithuania, because, you know, we spent part of our summers there, there was a couple of Russian drones that were shot down during the time that we were there. So you had F-16s or F-18s roaring overhead. It's something that those people are living with on a daily basis. I mean, this one, it looks like maybe was more intentional. Although you never really know, you're talking about a place where, like post-Soviet, you couldn't get on an elevator, and have it be sure it was going to work. So it's distinctly possible they got jammed or whatever, but it is a problem, quite frankly. And it's, you know, it's not good. It's really not good. And I would, you know, the cynic in me believes that it's Putin testing us. And this is what you get when you have what you've had, which is not, you know, strength and resilience standing up to them, but being all over the map. You know, I was talking to a prominent Republican just before the elections in 2024, And I remember him saying to me, you know, the world's on fire. And the world's on, you know, and the insinuation was that that was somehow Joe Biden's fault. Mm-hmm. Truth of the matter is the world is more on fire because today you have had chaos and uncertainty brings more chaos and uncertainty. And when you're talking about that happening with a place like Russia, you know, people can close their eyes and say, oh, well, that's a European problem or whatever. The truth of the matter is Article 5, NATO, no NATO, history shows us. And the reality is if Europe ends up in a war with Russia, eventually one way or another, we're going to be consumed with that too.
And I think they're in line. And, go ahead.
You know, it's a little bit like, you know, casting. You know, on the one hand, you have people saying we're in a civil war because Donald Trump and is, you know, doing what he's doing when we're not. You know, what you see happening with those drones landing in Poland, that's right on the precipice of a war. And it is a war that no one anywhere on the globe is going to be escaping if it comes to that.
And I want to follow up just a little bit. And again, I don't want to backtrack too much, but I think it's just an important conversation because I think these are real conversations that I hear from people as we travel around the state. So I think it's just important to have honesty about this. Matt texted back in, and I'll simply paraphrase what he wrote, which is, in his view, he was saying that because Donald Trump is sending in troops in Washington, D.C., literally National Guard troops, and in L.A., the same thing, and in other places like Chicago, thus far, ICE troops, that, but particularly in D.C., in L.A., using National Guard members, that in his view, he's asking, isn't that a form of unconstitutional act of civil war? I get what you're saying, Trigvi, because you've been in these areas of the world where there's actual war, actual civil war. But the perception, and you and I come in from politics, know that perception is reality. I think for a lot of Americans, a lot of Wisconsinites might agree with Matt that in their perception, to look out their windows in D.C. or L.A. and see National Guard tanks, to them it feels like a civil war.
I mean, I live in Washington, D.C. I don't know if I told this story on the radio. Maybe I didn't. What you're seeing with that is cosplay. And is it unconstitutional? Yeah, maybe. I mean, it certainly is not the tradition, and it's a bad look, and it isn't democracy. But to suggest that that's a civil war is quite frankly irresponsible, because it isn't. My daughter Ula is a huge fan of the WNBA. Apparently it's a thing, and I like that she is. The Washington Mystics stadium is over in Anacostia. Anacostia is not a good neighborhood. Quite frankly, it's a really not good neighborhood. And I said to her and her friend who I was dropping off, when you get picked up, you stay in the stadium until you know exactly where the car is. You don't go wandering around this neighborhood. To get to Anacostia from where I live, we had to drive down the mall. The National Guard guys are all sitting around on the mall, basically twiddling their thumbs. Most of them probably PO'd that they were missing their kids' first days of school in right. Texas or wherever they'd been sent from, doing nothing. There is no crime down on the mall. I mean, yeah, maybe occasionally, but there really isn't serious crime. It's cosplay. If Matt thinks there's a civil war going on because of that, he'll know there's a civil war going on when the National Guard is literally going door to door in his neighborhood, rounding up people like Matt, or is shooting people with live bullets on State Street who are protesting. That's a civil war. And so to use the term is quite frankly, I mean, it just isn't, it's as irresponsible when people who come from the left, and I'm not bagging on Matt, I don't want Matt to think I'm bagging on him, but it's irresponsible when the people on the left, and I hear politicians do that all the time, or not all the time, but you hear people on the left use that term, you hear people on the right have been using it for a long time. That kind of stuff, to Pat's point, begets actual real violence. Right. It just does.
And that's why, and again, we respect Matt's a regular listener. We appreciate him. And yeah, yeah, I agree. But I think I actually welcome this conversation, Because this is real conversations that Wisconsinites are having at the end of bars or at parks watching a football game on Friday nights or whatever.
Well, you won't get it from the crazy lady down the dial. You'll get a lot of talk about Civil War, but right. you ain't gonna get an honest conversation about it. And people like Matt and I can disagree on the semantics. I agree with Matt. What Trump administration's doing on a daily basis, it's antithetical to the Constitution. It's antithetical to who we are as Americans. It's not a civil war.
And I think that's the important discussion to have, the perception of some people. And to your point, Trigby, I agree with you that a lot of this is cosplay so that people buy into this narrative that is thus far technically untrue. But it raises the heat in the kitchen and can lead to actual violence or war.
Well, it creates chaos and right. It creates the perception of fear. It creates the perception of fear that somebody felt like Charlie Kirk was enough of a threat that they needed to go and shoot him, or that some crazy man thought that a state legislator from Minnesota was enough of a threat that she showed up at the person's house and shot the state legislator and their husband, and then went to another state legislator and shot them.
Yeah.
Like, that's what that kind of rhetoric leads to. And I agree. Donald Trump is the worst offender to this. And it's that kind of cosplay and chaos that people think is somehow cool. It isn't cool. And it ultimately leads to people like Charlie Kirk, people like the state legislators being shot here at home. But even more frightening in some ways is it leads to people like Vladimir Putin, thinking that they can go marching into Poland.
Right. And I appreciate you bringing it back to that, because we have a caller on the line right now, 855-752-4842. Mark in Prairie du Sac. Mark, listening in, you wanted to talk about Russia for a second. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, I was kind of delving into some history a little while back, and apparently prior to the 18th century, apparently there had been some kind of commonwealth between, I think it was Ukraine, part of Belarus, the Baltic states, and Poland were actually in a commonwealth. And before Poland was Poland, I think but it was the Polish people. But I mean, they were in a commonwealth of nations, and Russia was not a big deal, as powerful as it was then. And what's ironic is that Russia could be even more powerful if they were not engaged in these military exercises and the crap that they're pulling now, if they wanted to actually join with the modern European nations. I mean, like, Peter the Great, for all his faults, I mean, he wanted Russia to be more European, and to actually, and he probably went about it the wrong way. But Russia would be in stronger economically if they actually joined the modern world and gave up this Stalinist view of empire that they apparently are engaged in right now.
I appreciate it. Go ahead, quickly, Mark.
Yeah, and quickly, are firearms allowed on campus in Utah? I mean, that
I don't know the answer to that.
Get a firearm there. I mean, that's the other thing that popped into my head is that
there are I'm not going to go there. There are some unconfirmed reports that Charlie Kirk himself may have been carrying a gun at this point, but that is unconfirmed at this hour. And we will try to stay on this program to what we know to be confirmed. But Mark, I appreciate the point. Quickly, Trigby, to Mark's point, I want to go back to what you said earlier in the show. Less than a month ago, Donald Trump literally rolled out the red carpet for Vladimir Putin. And that doesn't that just give him empower him to do things like he did overnight, which is to eke into NATO territory with weapons in Poland. And as you said, testing the United States and the allies.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's going on. What Mark was alluding to is the Lithuanian Polish Grand Duchy, which at one point was the largest country in Europe. It ran from all the way from the Baltic Sea to the Black Sea. Yeah. But yeah, there's no doubt. We're being tested. We're being tested internally. We're being tested internationally. This is the result of what you have when you have chaos.
Come on back. More breaking news. We'll update you and tell you what it is after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Does Donald Trump's big bill provide the largest federal spending cut in U.S. history? No. Spending cuts in the bill that Trump signed wouldn't be the largest ever, despite claims by Republican U.S. Representative Scott Fitzgerald. The original House version would have nominally cut over $1.6 trillion over 10 years. The final version cut even less, $1.2 trillion. With $4.5 trillion in tax cuts, the act will increase federal debt by a massive $3.3 trillion over the next decade. Nonpartisan analysts say the plan's cuts would rank behind a 2011 law's $2 trillion in spending cuts. As a percentage of GDP, it doesn't rank in the top 5%. I'm Tricia Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Learn more at wisconsinwatch.org.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Matt Nair on air.
Mr. Darren Von Ruden, who is the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. This farm bill is supposed to be passed in 2023.
It's really frustrating that they've forgotten about small farmers. We actually pay more taxes than the billionaires do. Why are those tax dollars not coming back to the communities that pay them? Whether it's through the farm bill or it's other programs, we need to make sure that we keep fighting and let them know that we're not happy.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Louisiana versus Calais, C-A-L-L-A-I-S, could deal a death blow to the impact, the power, the capacity of the Supreme Court to decide Voting Rights Act cases. This is one of those times when the Supreme Court needs to hear from the public about the appropriate resolution of this major case that could compromise the Voting Rights Act going forward beyond Louisiana.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Now, 8 minutes before the hour of 3 o'clock on a Wednesday afternoon. Appreciate you being with us. And can see many more people are tuning into our live stream more than we usually get. We appreciate you turning to us in these times of breaking news and those listening to us over the air. So we will update you on what we know of the breaking news at this hour. According to DesertNews.com in Utah, several other places, ABC, CNN, and the like, CBS, at this hour, Charlie Kirk, the conservative commentator, activist, founder of Turning Points USA, was shot at a Utah event at University of Utah Valley in Orem, Utah, earlier today. Desert News reporters on the scene report seeing Kirk shot at a Q&A rally with students. About 2 minutes before or into the interview, rather, a gunshot was heard and Kirk appeared to be hit in the neck. Now, this is new news at this hour. Initially, it was believed that a shooter was in custody, but Desert News was told by officials the status of the shooter is unclear. The campus has been evacuated. At least 60 first responder vehicles were blocking the campus entrances this afternoon. Police have responded from Utah Highway Patrol and other vicinity or other municipalities around the area. So at this hour, Charlie Kirk confirmed to have been shot. He is at a hospital. His exact condition at this hour is unknown. And Zomers, I believe you sent me something else here. Just checking that very quickly here. Did you have the exact quote from folks at Turning Point USA? I want to make sure we get this right.
There are two quotes. The first one, Marina Minas, the chief marketing officer of Turning Point USA, said, quote, "He was shot in the neck. He's at the hospital. It doesn't look good," unquote, on CBS News. And on X, Agricultural Secretary Brooke Collins tweeted that Charlie Kirk is, quote, "still with us. Please keep praying. He is in critical condition, but still with us."
So here's the being flashed up on the CBS News screen from Turning Points USA, Charlie Kirk's organization, saying, quote, "It doesn't look good," unquote. That is what we know. We don't want to speculate any further than what the facts show us at this hour. We'll continue to update you here at Civic Media and, of course, our ABC and CBS News sources as well. And if that wasn't enough, more breaking news at this hour. According to CNN, at least two students have been shot now at Evergreen High School in Evergreen, Colorado. According to Jefferson County Sheriff's Office, the students are being transported to a nearby hospital. The sheriff said Evergreen is located roughly 28 miles southwest from Denver. This is a developing story. Again, that is in Evergreen, Colorado, at least two students shot at Evergreen High School in Evergreen, Colorado. Trigvy, I don't know what else to say other than you're a dad. You have two daughters. There's a human element to this that it just gets overwhelming, I think, and we feel like a lot of us, like, what the hell do we do? You vote at the ballot box. You go to rallies. But I think a lot of people just feel helpless and depressed and sad and angry in moments like this.
They're justifiable emotions, right? Like, they are. We as humans, it's hard to recognize that there are things outside our control, and maybe now more than ever, because we have more information at our fingertips than we have at any point in history. But I mean, here's what I would say. Number one, everybody needs to find their thing that they can do where all of the daily minutiae of whatever it is they have in their lives disappears.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
As you know, for me, and I wrote about this once on my Substack, there's nothing better for me than when I step out on the ice to go play hockey. I might even be thinking about the day, good or bad, when I'm in the locker room putting on my gear. But when I hear my skate blade crack against the ice, that's what I'm focused on. And having that hour and 20 minutes every day is healthy. You need to find people that you can get together with and have conversations that don't deviate into the political or the bad. And here's the other thing. When bad things happen, 9/11 was one of the worst things that happened in any of our lives, if you're of a certain age.
Amen.
It was an event of immense hate by a few individuals. Flying airplanes into buildings that are filled with people is an immense act of hate. And it was easy to give in to the anger of seeing that. But here's the thing that people forget. There was far more love shown 24 years ago tomorrow, than the act of hate. There were people in Nova Scotia who have little to nothing, who were taking in Americans who had to land on their island because they couldn't get into the United States. There's what I experienced in Lithuania, over 1,000 Lithuanians in front of the American embassy, leaving flowers, putting candles, hugging any Americans that they could find. It's just the reality. There's far more good in people. And you have to remind yourselves that that can be the case. And you have to encourage people to think and recognize that when you're having conversations with them, preaching to people about politics isn't the answer. It's helping them find within themselves the differences between what they're advocating for politically and who they are as human beings in their daily life.
Yeah.
You just do. And in a place like Wisconsin, it's filled with people, you know, who are like so good to people who are immigrating to their communities, and yet they're standing for not being nice to people who are immigrants.
Great perspective. Great analysis, Twigby. Really appreciate you being here today. Thank you so much, my friend. We will talk to you soon. Come on back. Hour number two is straight ahead, including a live interview with the newest candidate for governor of the state of Wisconsin, David Crowley, county executive in Milwaukee. In hour two, straight ahead.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Right-wing activist Charlie Kirk has been shot at an appearance at a university in Utah. CBS's Scott McFarland begins our coverage.
This is a publicly advertised event by this conservative media icon, Charlie Kirk. It began at 12 p.m. local time in Utah. A public speech in front of a large crowd at Utah Valley University, an enormous school in central Utah. The FBI director, Kash Patel, has issued a statement saying, "We're closely monitoring reports of the tragic shooting."
CBS's Ed O'Keefe.
Charlie Cook is a 31-year-old originally from the Chicago suburbs, an incredibly influential figure in conservative politics.
CBS's Maurice DeWab reports the White House has reacted to the shooting.
President Trump responding and reacting on social media. Here are his words. "We must all pray for Charlie Kirk, who has been shot. A great guy from top to bottom," the president says.
Kirk's condition isn't known. CBS News Special Report. I'm Cammie McCormick.